Welcome to the newest episode of the Little House Book Club. The Little House Book Club is family-friendly and listener-supported, which means no commercials. If you would like to share your thoughts or suggest a book or author, please email me at mark@walnutgrovecast.com. Today, I have a very special guest. Her name is Annette Whipple. Annette Whipple celebrates curiosity and inspires a sense of wonder in young readers while exciting them about science and history. In the past year, she has released two books, The Laura Ingalls Wilder Companion, A Chapter-by-Chapter Guide, and Who Knew? The Truth About Owls. When she's not reading or writing, you might find Annette snacking on warm chocolate chip cookies with her family in Pennsylvania. Please welcome to the show, Annette Whipple. Whipple, right? I'm sorry. Whipple.
Yeah. Annette Whipple. Hi, thank you. I'm so glad to be here, Mark.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to come and speak to me about your book. You were kind enough to send me a copy, and I really love it. I'm kind of always been a fan of Laura Ingalls Wilder's writing, but the show got in the way, I'm going to say. But as an adult now, I am starting to go back and read the books. And I think even though your book might have had a focus for the younger readers, I'm going to read this, and I think that there's a lot of stuff that I'll be pulling out just for fun. And you have photos in here, historical things. I love this book, and it's exactly what I expected. And I just love the book. Thank you for writing it.
Oh, you're welcome. As an adult, I'm curious. You're curious, and there's so much that we understand that the children readers do not understand. But I've had great feedback about the Laura Ingalls Wilder Companion from fans, adult fans of both the show and the books as well. But especially the books, since it does focus on Wilder's books.
The books are a lot more fun than I even remember them being when I was a kid. So as I revisit them, you know, I'm sorry, go on.
No, that's okay. So it was a few years ago. It was actually 2014 when I was inspired to write The Laura Ingalls Wilder Companion. And it was because I was reading the books with my own kids, and they have so many questions. There's so much within the Little House books that they don't understand, not just the history, but the history, you know, reading some of that history with an 8-year-old or even a 10-year-old is very different than what you and I understand. And then it's also some of those conversations that need to happen for the complex issues, including the racism. I try to address all of that while making it fun for kids with the activities that I included, and just helping them to kind of dive into the books and experience the world of Little House.
Yeah, I really think that you accomplished that. And, you know, you also included a glossary of pioneer words, and I certainly learned one, milch cow, which is a cow used for milk. I had no idea.
Right. It sounds like a milk cow, but yeah, it was actually the hundreds of terms. I had to create all those definitions myself, but even just choosing which words to include and which ones not to include, and then those definitions, because I, of course, had to learn what the words meant first, because I might have a guess, but did I really know for sure? So it was interesting.
I think you did a great job with the glossary, definitely. But were you always a fan of the Laura Ingalls Wilder books?
I was a fan as a kid, and then it was actually before I had children. So I was probably in my late 20s or so when I read the books again as an adult and really appreciated them all over again. And even before I had the idea to write the book, I had read them as an adult a couple of times or listened to them, because the Cherry Jones audiobooks, if you ever have the chance to listen to those, they're incredible.
Oh really? No, I haven't.
They're perfect for long car rides with the kids, or if you want to introduce a 3 or 4 or 5 year old to the books, who they might not want to sit for a read aloud or play in the same room with you as you're reading aloud. They might not necessarily connect that well. But if you're in a car and you don't have anything else to do, you're going to listen.
Yeah, well, that's the great thing about, you know, say podcasts as well, is sometimes when you are a captive audience and you just want something, you can just throw it on. But I'm a kind of a big fan of long road trips with a book on tape type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Me too. And I actually have found that let's say I'm a tired driver, I am going to be more focused if I'm listening to a book instead of music.
I never thought of that.
Whereas my husband, he considers an audiobook to just be kind of white noise in the background. So it's very different for the two of us.
Oh, that's interesting.
But the Little House audiobooks, they are very well done and I really enjoy them. But yeah, so I was a fan as a kid, I was a fan as an adult, and then you know, when I started sharing them, the Little House books, with my own kids. Slowly but surely. And I was reading another book. We were reading the Narnia books, Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Mm-hmm. And I had a companion guide for the Narnia books. And I was like, I could write a book like this. And at that point, I had not been writing for children. I'd only been writing some magazine articles for adults.
Well, that was my next question. I was going to say, where did the idea to create a companion? And it was really just applying what you knew to another work that you saw.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, since, you know, I saw this book, Roar is what it was called. And I was like, this is fabulous. My kids loved it. They loved, you know, when we finished a chapter, they wanted to go into that companion guide. And So I studied that book and decided what I could use from that book in my own writing. But it was very quick to figure out what series would that could use a companion guide. Yeah. That really wasn't hard for me to figure out at all. And then it was a long process though, and I still needed to learn more about the publishing world. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of studying, did a lot of learning, eventually attended my first writing conference and that sort of thing. But it was really neat to see how the idea came about, and then I was able to make it happen. But
that
like
must
I said,
have been an exciting moment when you kind of thought, this is the idea, like it's really coming to fruition, you know?
Yes, and so that was August of 2014, and I started a blog called I called it The Little House Companion, and since then I've changed it to wildercompanion.com. But I started that back in 2014 because I knew I needed to build up that platform and that sort of thing. And it would also be good practice for me to pull some things out from the books and, you know, provide information or an activity, that sort of thing, for other fans. And it's been a neat experience. But, you know, after I had that idea, I contacted one of my dear friends who has worked in many libraries, including some of the big libraries across the country. And, you know, I asked, and she was a teacher and just a big book person, big on literacy, although she's not a writer. She's a huge reader and big advocate for education and such. And I knew that I needed to ask her what she thought. And then also,
that's the test right there, right?
Yes. You know, that trusted person of, you know, is this a good idea? And am I the person to do this? And she was behind the idea full force from the beginning. Wow. So that was exciting. And then I moved forward with it. But yeah, 6 years later, it's a book.
So there are book people and then there are the TV people.
Yes.
And while my podcast does focus mostly on the television series, we are slowly, you know, creeping over to the literature of the time and especially the literature from Laura Ingalls Wilder and, you know, like from Rose. And I just think that it needs to be discussed. And I think you do too. What are your thoughts on the TV show?
So I don't watch it regularly, mm-hmm. but it's fun to watch it because it goes beyond those nine Little House books. And that's mm-hmm. why some people don't like it, because it does go beyond.
Right.
But that's
fan fiction.
Part of the fun of it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that catch-22, I suppose. But, I think for those of us who are mainly book fans, one of the best parts about the TV show is that it kept the values of the books and ran with it. And it brought in so many fans to the books. With it's still going on TV and it's going strong. There are still new fans, there are old fans, and I appreciate how it brings people to the books and think it's wonderful. My favorite episode would be the pilot though, because that is so close to the books themselves. So,
And
but when I was in one of the semesters, or maybe it was a year that I was in college, one of a neighbor in my dorm, every afternoon before we went to the dining hall, we would sit and watch Little House on the Prairie in her dorm room. And
that's
that
kind
was.
of what's going on, like in France. It's found a new audience, and it's a really interesting show. And yeah, I fully understand what you're saying. It's really just a different universe, based loosely on each other, you know?
And there's new characters, there's completely different plot twists and such, but that's probably why the show was able to go for so long. Was it 9 years?
Yeah, it was 9 seasons, and then they had some movies. But there's also a lot of, I think, things to discuss, in the reality versus the television depiction, because, for instance, we have the Nelly character, and you have one of your sidebars, which is throughout your book, called Fact or Fiction. And I can't find this one. Where is it? So, but it discusses where the character of Nelly Olson came from, how it's based on three characters, and I just love that. I love. And what that is, I think, is a fun fact that anybody can bring up just the middle of nowhere. It's like, oh, you like a Little House on the Prairie. Well, did you know this? You know?
So I found the sidebar.
Okay.
So,
What page is it?
I'm in the advanced reader copy,
Oh.
but my page is 125, so it will be close to that. It
Okay.
was
I'll
just the
find
one that I grabbed. But it says, readers recognize Nellie Olson for the bully she was. Nellie represented three rivals from Laura Ingalls Wilder's childhood. Nellie Owens and Genevieve Masters lived in Walnut Grove, Minnesota, also known as Plum Creek. Nellie's father owned a store. Wilder described Nellie and her brother Willie as rude and selfish. Genevieve liked to brag about her New York connections. And then Wilder's third adversary, Stella Gilbert, lived a couple of miles away from Laura's home in DeSmet, Dakota Territory. Like the fictional Nellie Olson, Stella often went on buggy rides with Laura and Nell Manzo. Yeah, so it was so neat to be able to find those things that kids and adults would wonder about. Was this for real? Did this really happen? And include those fact or
Right.
fiction
It's a real
sidebars.
deconstruction, and it brings it just increases the value of it, because the television show is well over, what is it, 40 years now, it's over. And people are, like you're saying, people are still fans of the show. People listen to this podcast, but it's over. There's no more, right? But when you pick up this book, it really will open your eyes to it. There's a whole new universe of Little House on the Prairie out there. You just have to kind of read about it. That's the only tough part for some people. No, there's so many different things I wanted to ask you about. And you just kind of hit the nail on the head with something, with Almanzo. So, I had Lucy Lee Flippin on the show about a little over a year ago, and she was the person who had coined the pronunciation of Almanzo, and it just stuck. And
And
we've learned over time that it is, in fact, Almanzo, and that is what I've trained myself to say.
do you feel like you're saying it wrong when you're speaking on the podcast though? Because so many of your listeners are
No.
fans of the TV show.
I overemphasize it, because if somebody says Almanzo, see, I can almost not even say it the wrong way anymore. Almanzo, I'll say, "Who is that?" You know, and call them out for it. We don't allow it to be said that way. Also, Dean Butler spoke to me, and he says Almanzo. So the guy who played the character says it. He's on board. But I little things like that make, they're important to me. So, especially when I have a very hard to pronounce last name. So pronunciation is important.
It is. It is. And there are times when, and it's when it comes to the TV show, it's I do appreciate that they used Almanzo that whole time because that was who he was on the TV show. Mm. And it's just one little differentiation between real life and the TV show and even the books. But even the books are not all true. So, you know, sure. They are historical fiction. And so, you know, there's still fiction there. So,
well, so your book is organized pretty logically, I think. Part one focuses on the original popular books. But then in part two, you call it Life Beyond Little House, where you touch upon the book the first 4 years. Mm-hmm. Why did you create a separation of part one and part two, not just a continuation?
Well, part one is really Laura's childhood. Mm-hmm. And the first 4 years, Laura's an adult. She's married now. And the other part of that, and it was really the focusing on the big differentiation for me was childhood and adulthood, because I also wanted to have a chapter about what happened after the Little House books mm-hmm. in part two. But the other part of that is that the first 4 years was not published during Laura Ingalls Wilder's lifetime. And she didn't seek publication of that book, and she didn't really revise it for publication. And because of all of that, I really felt like it's different and it's separate, but there's also that different, even though it's included in, you know, the box sets and it's considered to be part of the Little House series, it was really written for adults. It was, she didn't intend it to be part of the Little House series. Mm.
That's
so that was part of my separation there.
You also mentioned how Wilder included tough subjects in her writing because they portrayed her own personal experiences as a pioneer and her own observations of the white settlers and the treatment of Native Americans. I like how you point out that although this represents the shameful past, we need to think about these issues, even if they make us uncomfortable. I just think it's possibly a lesson that she didn't intend on teaching, but over time, those comments and that discussion really, really bring a lot to the table, especially right now.
Yes. And there's been, you know, I'm sure, you know, there's been pushback about the Little House books because
Absolutely,
of the
yeah.
prejudice mm-hmm. within them. And that was historically accurate. And some people say, but we don't want to celebrate the books because they showed this. Mm-hmm. And that's not, every person can make up their own mind about how they feel about that. But I appreciate the discussions we can have about that time in history, about how Native Americans were treated mm-hmm. and why the Native Americans pushed back because of all of those broken treaties. And why, you know, the whole world was kind of conquered in one way or another, it seems, including North America. And, you know, the European settlers, they pushed west. And though the Native Americans were here, and that was part of my, I knew I wanted to address that. And I just had hoped that I would do it well, do it right for everyone. And I also knew that there would be people who would say that I didn't do enough to talk about and address some of those issues. And there would be others that said, oh, I went too far and said too much about it. But for me, I think about that child reader. And I think about what some of those thoughts that are going through their head as they're reading it. And, you know, some might say, that wasn't very nice or something like that. But I also want them to understand more about that back and forth between the Native Americans and the pioneers, as well as the government, mm-hmm. Because it was complicated. And quite honestly, despite the fact that I have studied it, it still feels complicated to me.
It is. And it's because we don't, I think that possibly you and I cannot fathom feeling this way towards mm-hmm. people, maybe. And I thought that you were you touched upon it sensitively, but honestly. And for instance, in one of the sidebars, you mentioned the Dakota War of 1862, which was a horrifying situation. Mm-hmm. It was something that really did take place in the area that that Walnut Grove was. Like, it wasn't too far. And that ended in one of the largest mass executions in our nation's history, of 32 hangings. And it's just really, really awful. I think it was 303 Native Americans were arrested, and their families all arrested. Lincoln stepped in. I don't know if this number is exactly accurate, but he lowered their sentences or released them, like about 262 of them. So it's just a crazy period of our history, and I just think it's important. I think you do too. And your book really shows that you do think it's important. And although it has a lot of cuteness to it, it has a lot of brutal honesty as well. You don't ignore that, you know. You don't ignore that war.
It's right, and it's there are some things that, you know, the family, you know, the Little House books, really, and the TV show, lots of wholesome family values, lots. Mm-hmm. But through the books, and even through the TV show, we can learn more about history. And it's like, oh, I don't know about that. And I feel like my education, here's what I should say instead of starting like that. I've learned more about history as an adult than I did during my schooling. Mm-hmm. And part of that is because at this point I'm choosing what I'm learning. And I have found that, and not necessarily my book, although I hope it teaches a lot of history, but really it's that companion guide for the Little House book. So yes, history's in there, but I read a lot of middle grade and young adult nonfiction because it's so engaging, and it's very, it's just interesting to me. And the research, the authors still must do an incredible amount of research, just as much as if the book was written for adults. But because it's written for younger people, it has to be interesting. It won't feel academic. It won't feel as boring. So
yeah, one of the things I think that you've introduced to this companion is a segment that I think in each chapter you have it as house talk, mm-hmm. which just basically ask some of the harder questions to answer, maybe more questions that, you know, maybe the answer to it will be completely different for everybody in the room, type of thing. Right. And I really love that. You ask questions such as, what do you think amazed Laura the most at Nellie's party? You know, so of course this is from, I believe, On the Banks of Plum Creek.
Yes.
So there's a particular part of the book, and it's a great thing to, not a test of whether you paid attention, but more along the lines of, if you enjoyed it, you're going to have some real deep thoughts when it comes to answering these questions.
Right. And whether a child is reading the book by themselves or an adult, or a family is reading it, or even, you know, I know that teachers don't have as much time to dive into unit studies as they used to with literature. But if a teacher is even using it in the classroom, those house talk questions, you know, they can be used as discussion questions or just to help the reader to.
Yeah, you're doing the work for the teacher right here. You really are. I mean, you must have thought of that at the, at least in the middle of writing them.
Well, I was a teacher.
Oh, there you go. It's a lesson plan, really.
I was a teacher, and in so many ways, I still am. I'm, you know, and now I do it through my written words and then through school visits and even teaching writers and that sort of thing. So I'm still a teacher at heart for sure. But yes, I wanted it to be a tool that could be, you know, I wanted the book to be a tool for families, for teachers, and definitely for readers, because I do think that the Little House books deserve some of that back and forth discussion. Mm-hmm. Especially with some of the complicated topics like the prejudice, but not every family can do that. And mm-hmm. not all parents feel confident that they would be able to answer questions in a way that they would be satisfied. So I'm hoping that the Laura Ingalls Wilder Companion will be a tool for people like that.
Well, you have also segments called Dig Deeper, where it just gets deeper into the history of what was going on. Also, Live Like Laura segments. I just love these things. I mean,
yes.
We all want to live a little bit like Laura, right? but everywhere, you can just flip through it, and there's recipes and all types of things. Actually, there are several recipes and activities, and they all look like fun, but ones that stood out to me are ones I've heard of, but I don't know if I've ever created many of them. Snow maple candy with the warning that if you have braces, do not eat this. I thought, oh my God, did she go through something?
No, it was just, it's super, the maple snow candy is super sticky. This past winter, my son actually had braces, and every winter since that very first time that we made it to test it out for the book, we've, my kids have asked to make it every year. And this year I specifically didn't make it because I didn't want my son to miss out, but he only has retainers now. So he'll pop those out this winter and we'll have some more.
Good for him. But there's also the pretzel log cabin, which I think, you know, who wouldn't want to make that? And the ginger water and making a homemade checkerboard. This is also a wonderful book to hand to somebody who's going through a tough time with this pandemic because I don't know. You could just flip this open like, I don't know what to do with my kids. And we all have that friend, right? Or a dozen of them. Maybe we are that friend. and we, you know, what can I do? And it's just kind of, well, you can teach a quick lesson, actually, about life 150 years ago. It's amazing. And I really love it for that. I've always liked books like this. Actually, it's not that many books that are so definitive when it comes to it. And that's what I really love about this. I'm looking forward to jumping back into the books. And I think after every book, I'll probably flip through what you have to add to it.
Thank you.
It's not really opinionated either, which is great. It's facts, you know?
Well, the goal was to be more of a resource instead of just sharing my own thoughts. And so, you know, it's a ton of research went into it, but, you know, some of that research was for those 75 activities and recipes and crafts and, you know, also deciding, okay, this has been written about in that other book. I don't need to include it here, or it's, you know, easily found on the internet, something like that. But I had, you know, when I was reading through the Little House books to prepare for my own, from writing the Laura Ingalls Wilder Companion, I created charts for every single chapter of every single book.
I can only imagine. Oh my God.
Because I wanted it to be chapter by chapter. And there's a handful of chapters that didn't have something for me to include in the book. But really, almost every single chapter, probably 95-97% of the chapters are addressed within the Laura Ingalls Wilder Companion in some way or another. But that Dig Deeper section that you mentioned, that was, you know, I didn't want to just recap what happened in the book. I wanted to take each of those little bullet points a step further to say, you know, this might be what was happening here, or yes, that was, that is what happened and this is why. And, you know, either mentioning something about the real Laura Ingalls Wilder or Almanza Wilder and their families, or about the historical times, the towns, whatever it might be, taking it one step further than just what the reader read within the Little House books. During my research for those charts, to fill out the charts alone, let alone the additional research to make it happen and write it up, but I read every book slowly 3 times, and then I did a lot of skimming and additional reading after that. But I wanted to make sure I had all the pioneer terms I wanted. I wanted to make sure I didn't miss out on any activities or that I didn't address something important that should have been addressed. And maybe I'll find out in my next reading of the Little House books that I did forget something, or maybe somebody will point it out to me.
Well, actually, that was one of my questions. Was there anything that you could think of that you realized, you know, you submit it, it's been proofread, and it's like, wait a minute, was there anything?
There was something within Farmer Boy. In one of the early chapters, about the Hardscrabble settlement and the big boys from there, mm-hmm. There was something that happened at school with the teacher that I wanted to address. I'm not sure if I wanted to address it more or address it differently. I don't recall now, but that was the only thing that came out after we were done with revisions with the editor at Chicago Review Press. But they, you know, it's, I feel like I did get mostly everything I wanted to do.
Now, had you, prior to doing this research, do you think that you ever went towards the books with such passion? Because that's really, your goal was really to understand everything in these books, or as much as you possibly could.
And, you know, before I had the idea to write, I had done a little bit of research to learn more about the real Laura Ingalls Wilder. And, you know, that was just kind of passive reading. I wasn't studying. I wasn't really researching. It was just kind of some, I wanted to know more. I was curious because I'm a kind of curious person. But no, it was researching. It was intense, but it was a lot of fun, as you might imagine, too, because I got to research what I wanted and what was I curious about. And like, I remembered reading The Long Winter as a child, and thinking that Laura Ingalls Wilder completely exaggerated that winter.
Yeah, I mean, when we, the last time I read that was probably, I don't remember, maybe in sixth grade or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I remember it being like, there's no way, there's no snowstorm like this at all, ever. Maybe in Antarctica.
And my, you know, my research, and that was one of my factor fictions within the book, talking about how, yes, Laura Ingalls Wilder fictionalized parts of the Little House books, but, you know, a meteorologist did compare, you know, weather records, newspaper accounts and such to the Little House books. And I was surprised, and so I shared it within my own book, that Laura Ingalls Wilder was actually surprisingly accurate.
Yeah, I read that just last night in your book, and I was like, no way. Like, what? And that really blew me away.
And it was, there's, I think it was a couple years later that there was a blizzard that, which is now known as the Children's Blizzard. And there have been books written about that as well. But there were a couple of really hard winters back then. And actually the long winter was almost titled The Hard Winter. That was what Laura Ingalls Wilder had wanted to call it. But the editors thought that might be a little too, these are my words, not the editor's words, but what I'm remembering is that just seemed too harsh.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, that day, you know, somebody has an opinion about something and all of a sudden it becomes something else. I'm sure you deal with that all the time, title changes and all that kind of fun stuff.
Yes, yes.
And have you ever thought about, I mean, you've done a mountain of research here, and a lot of adults are turning to the books. Would you ever create a companion that reads more, I guess, that reads older?
Well, I don't know that I need to, because I feel like the annotated Pioneer Girl is an incredible resource. And that really, you know, some have said that my book is similar to that in the sense of, you know, all these, even though it's not an annotated version of the Little House books, because it goes chapter by chapter, it's not too far off. So I'm not sure that I would need to. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, there are some Laura Ingalls Wilder and Little House experts out there who have been researching decades longer than me, who have more knowledge than I do. And even though I did spend years researching and learning, they would probably be a better choice
Now, I bring
for
that up because,
them.
as I mentioned, I come from publishing, so I'm always looking for another way to sell another book. But the adult edition, and it's just like a couple of, extra things. But no, but you're right. I mean, just, and like I said before, I thoroughly enjoy this, and I'm going to use it as a resource when I'm revisiting the books. Yeah, there's so much here. And I, do you have like a favorite recipe that's in here?
Homemade donuts are really good, but that's and but so yeah, homemade donuts were delicious. But I think my surprise favorite, and I should actually look through the list of recipes to know if I'm actually saying this right. But the soda crackers are not crunchy, but they were absolutely delicious.
Soda crackers. I was just looking at it. I had it. Soda crackers, page 86.
Yes, yeah, so I think they might be my favorite. The dried apples are delicious, and we make those every year. The cornbread I make probably every month. So it's yeah, the
I
vinegar
love
pie.
it. I love the fact that, the recipes also they don't overly complicate things because a lot of times they'll say, well, originally it was made with this and you have to find it like this, and there'll be two recipes. Like, this is what you can get at the supermarket and this is what they made it with. And it just overcomplicates it. But these, a kid can really follow these. And I think that, of course, when there's a lot of heat involved or something, there's, a warning of adult supervision. But, pink lemonade, homemade ice cream, kids can, for the most part, do this stuff mostly on their own. I love the first recipe, I think, in the book. I'm not 100% sure, but it's making butter, right? With
Yes.
heavy cream. Just giving that to a kid to shake their heads off, like just shake, 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 is going to blow their mind when they realize it's butter, like for real butter. And
And it tastes delicious. I mean, put it on saltine crackers and you'll be amazed.
you can make those crackers.
So for my goal was to, the Little House Cookbook is an incredible resource.
Yeah. By Barbara Walters,
But
yeah.
yes, and I love it. But I also knew that my 10 or 12-year-old would be too intimidated to do a lot of the things in there. And a parent doesn't necessarily want to have a special run to the grocery store for some recipes.
For a pheasant.
So I wanted to have easy to make. And yes, they might have a lot of steps, but if a child is making it has to be explained in detail. So those donuts that I mentioned, and the soda crackers too, they are more complicated recipes. And so they have lots of steps, but they're doable, especially if a child knows how to measure. And for either of those, they're going to need some adult supervision because, the oven is going to be on or frying oil. That's not something that you just want to do willy-nilly. So, but
I love
yeah,
it. I just think it's a lot of fun. Even the recipes are written in kind of a fun way. You have stuff that, more daring kids might try, like apples and onions, It's like immediately their nose turns up at that. But like, let's make it, let's try it, And yeah, I love this kind of stuff. And I also noticed that you wrote a book about the story of the Wright brothers. I just wanted to bring up your other writing, that you are somebody who is into history. I mean, maybe what is that, 40 years after, more than 40 years after Laura Ingalls Wilder's events took place, about that actually. But so you have a book called The Story of the Wright Brothers, and also Who Knew the Story, The Truth About Owls. Do you want to talk a little bit about those?
Sure. I love history. I love science, and part of that's the teacher me wanting to learn more and then share it with kids. So the story of the Wright brothers is a biography for young readers. So It's highly illustrated, but it's packed full of information. And you know, I worked with Rockridge Press to write that, and we really worked hard to make it engaging for readers.
The illustrations on that are beautiful. I showed it to my son, who's into a lot of that era of things, and we ordered one copy of it last night.
Thank you.
But thank you for having it even exist. And but yeah, we looked at the look inside thing, you know, the Amazon, and it gives you a good idea of what it looks like and everything. And he's like, "Ooh, I like the illustrations," and you know, so yeah, we really like the way it looks, and I think it's such a important aspect of all of this. But I'm sorry, go on. I just wanted to let you know aesthetically we were sold on it, but I'm sure the content's going to be really just as wonderful.
Well, just like the Laura Ingalls Wilder Companion has lots of different features with those sidebars, like the fact or fiction, the dig deeper in each chapter and the house talk and all the activities. The story of the Wright brothers has, like, every chapter has its own map. Every chapter has its own timeline. And there are other features like that to help engage the reader visually or in another way. And there are some questions like there's myth or fact as well, because, you know, the Wright brothers really weren't the first ones to fly, although they were the first ones to fly in a motorized airplane. Right. So, you know, the little things like that. And then Who Knew the Truth About Owls actually just became a book yesterday.
Oh my God, really? Yes. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. And that one I'm just thrilled about as well. That is, I have to say, Amazon, it has not featured the look inside feature yet.
Oh, okay.
And really, this book is all about design. I mean, I wrote the words, but Raycraft Books did an amazing job with the design. The cover itself, the close-up of the owl's face is beautiful. But every page spread answers a question about owls. And so do owls really turn their heads around? Do owls puke? Do owls sleep all day? You know, questions like that. So every page spread is a picture book. Every page spread is devoted to a question. And then the design is just lots and lots of beautiful photographs.
Yeah, the cover is just a close-up of an owl's intense eyes and face.
Yes.
And it's really cool.
I am so excited about how this book turned out. And, you know, the hardcover version even features a poster. Owl Superpowers is what the poster is. So, it focuses, you know, it talks about there. It's a big picture of an owl. And then, it's not quite a diagram, but little lines to where the owl's ears are, and talks about their hearing, their vision, their talons and things, and even their feathers, because wow, they fly silently unlike other birds. So lots of cool things about owls, and I just love them. And that's actually part of a series now. Next year we'll have two more books.
That was my next question. What's next?
Yeah. So next is the Truth About series. We'll have a book about dogs. And dun dun dun, spiders.
Oh,
I'm
boy.
So excited. Yeah. I did not know how interesting spiders were until I started researching them. And I recently got to hold a tarantula. And I say I got to. It's probably one of the bravest things I've ever done.
Oh my God. But I hate spiders. Yeah.
If I had not researched about them first and hadn't already been in awe of spiders, I wouldn't have had any desire to hold a spider. if 3 years ago somebody had said, "Oh, I have a pet spider. Would you like to hold it?" I'd be like, "No, I'm good."
Where is it? I just want to know where that is.
So
that's awesome. So, you've been doing a lot more than a lot of people in 2020.
I've been doing a lot of distracted writing, yes.
Yeah, but that's
a lot of
good.
Distracted research, but making it happen. So, yeah.
But yeah, congratulations on the release of all of these books. But
Thank you.
Do you have any other projects in front of you? The Truth About is turning into a series.
Yes.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yep. So that's the, you know, working on wrapping that up at this time. You know, I just actually had emailed my editor some final notes about the dog book before it goes to design. And the whole series will be, you know, lots of photographs. One thing I didn't mention is that the every page spread has a kind of a humorous sidebar too, where the animal talks. So, and it's just one more way to kind of provide information to the reader, but it's also a great way to engage the reader with a bit of humor, because kids love humor. They love to laugh, and they love anything that can make them giggle or chuckle or say, wow. So,
and
yeah.
Sidebars are a great mechanism for that. Absolutely.
Yep.
Because it also makes life a lot easier for whoever's laying out your book, because they can just put it anywhere, make it a little bit bigger. Fits.
Yep.
But Annette Whipple, I want to thank you so much for coming and spending time. If you want to learn more about Annette's work, you can go to AnnetteWhipple.com. You can also go to WilderCompanion.com. I'll put a link to all of your books on Amazon and a link to everything that we talked about. But thank you so much for taking the time today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, this was so much fun, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Little House Book Club. If you enjoy Little House on the Prairie and the history that surrounds it, you might want to take a listen to Wanak Grovecast as well as the Bonnet Heads podcast. All of my podcasts are family-friendly and listener-supported.